It was scary. Sometimes success can be just as frightening, if not more frightening, than failure, you know? Because then there's the pressure on you to repeat it, to stay there, you know? Not all that difficult to get to the top of the mountain. It's just hard to stay there.
She's a restless spirit on an endless flight.
We were tough, you know, we were tough kids, and we were motivated, we were young and resilient.
One of these nights.
Tammy Farley.
Tammy, do we have Tammy
Fogelberg?
We wanted it, you know. We just wanted to do well. You know, we wanted to see the world, and we wanted to play music for people. We wanted girls to like us.
Hilliard, today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Have you ever been to a concert where the band plays one great song after another, all recognizable? In fact, you might even know all the lyrics to the song. The Eagles had a total of 7 members through their initial 9 years from 1971 through 1980. All said they have produced 5 number one singles, 6 Grammys, 5 American Music Awards, and 6 number one albums. If you can get your head around those numbers, it made them arguably the hottest band of the 1970s. To date, they have sold over 150 million records. The album, Their Greatest Hits, 1971 to 1975, was the best-selling album of the 20th century in the United States. The Eagles were formed in Los Angeles in 1971 by guitarist Glenn Frey and drummer Don Henley. They were the key players throughout the years. For a lead guitarist, they went to the Flying Burrito Brothers and recruited Bernie Ledden. Burrito Brothers was a country rock band formed in Los Angeles in 1968 by two former members of the Byrds, Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman. Their bass player, Randy Meisner, came from Poco.
Today my first love has arrived. Did you see her? Did you approve? What if I ask this of you?
Glenn Frey was originally from Detroit, Michigan. One of his first recording sessions was with Bob Seger as a backup vocalist. You can hear him in the first phrase of the refrain trying to take Bob's job. The morphing of artists, bands, and sound share a certain flavor you'll hear as we go. The sound that was to become the LA or California sound includes many names, so check them out on show notes for links to take you on a journey through rock history. One of the early influences occurred when Frey and roommate J.D. Souther lived upstairs in a small duplex from downstairs neighbor the great Jackson Browne.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
Take It Easy is a song that I started to write and Glenn finished. He had the four great singers, this huge bank of voices that could come in, and he had that to work with. And when they worked out the song, it suddenly had this, you know, take it easy, take it easy. You know, we had this, you know, this arrangement sense that was just so great.
He wrote the song and had become disenchanted with it and had sort of put it aside, put it on the shelf. And Glenn Frey, who is a very astute arranger and a student of songwriting, recognized that there was something in that song that was perhaps better than Jackson had imagined, and encouraged Jackson to get it off the shelf.
He said, let me know when it's done. He called me like 2 weeks later and said, is it done? I said, well, I'm still working on my record, you know, but I'm going to do it, you know. So then he called me, then he waited about a month, and he called me, he says, is it done? I said, no. He said, you want me to finish it? And I went, no, I can finish it. I'll do it.
Jackson ended up letting Glenn actually finish it.
He came up with this great flatbed Ford thing, you know. I mean, that's like a real, you know, that's a transformation made right there. I mean, I dug the fact that all these women in Arizona were driving trucks. That appealed to me. But it's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, you know.
Linda Ronstadt hired Frey and Henley to play in her backup band.
The Troubadour was the center of our musical universe and the place I met Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and a lot of other musicians looking for their next song, their next paycheck, or their next meal. I was putting together a touring band and hired Glenn, a great guitar player with an exquisite vocal range. Don was an ideal drummer for a singer like me. He played simply, understood traditional music, and was a brilliant vocalist. On the road, Glenn and Don played and wrote music all night and made a fateful decision to form their own band.
Brian Henley wrote this next song for their 1973 release, Desperado. And they credit Linda Ronstadt for popularizing it.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you will hurt you somehow. Don't you try the queen of diamonds, but she'll beat you if she's able. The queen of hearts is always your best.
Even though some credit the Eagles as the creators of the L.A. sound, none of the seven members were actually from Los Angeles. The original four members, Fry, Henley, Ledden, and Meisner, added a new guitar player, Don Felder, in 1974. Like Ledden, he was from Gainesville, Florida, and friends with Tom Petty. Joe Walsh from James Gang, and a solo artist in his own right, replaced Ledden in 1975. Bass player Randy Meisner was replaced by another former Poco bassist in 1977, Timothy B. Schmidt. Schmidt was the last member to join the 1970s version of the Eagles. Don Felder talks about it in this interview.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, they were playing, you know, Take It Easy and Peaceful Easy Feeling and those sort of songs, yeah. Great songs, but right. Really kind of country-oriented. And AM radio in the 70s, you had to have a special format. It had to be 3 minutes long. You had to have an intro that was under 30 seconds so the DJs didn't have a long time to talk before the singing started. And everything that was on the radio was either rock and roll or R&B.
So it was very calculated on the part of the Eagles. And when I say the part of the Eagles, I mean, you know, Fry and Henley.
Uh-huh.
It was really sort of brilliant on their part to say, we need a guy who can make us even more acceptable to the rock and roll world. It'll make us a bigger band.
That's exactly
so it was
right.
Smart to bring you
yeah.
in.
Now, how did they find you? Why you?
Yeah, why you and not
I keep
me?
Asking myself that question every day. Why me?
Why you?
One of the guys that was in the band, original member, was a guy named Bernie Ledden. And
right.
He was a brilliant guitar player. If you listen to the first couple of records, he was a brilliant bluegrass and electric country music guitar player.
Right.
And Bernie and I were actually high school friends when we were 15 and 16 and have a band together in Gainesville, Florida, where we grew up.
Right.
And Bernie left Gainesville and moved back to California and was in the Flying Burrito Brothers and a few other bands and finally wound up in the Eagles. And so when he would come around to different cities that I was in, we'd get together and I'd go backstage and hang out and play with him and just say hello.
Right.
And I wound up seeing them in Boston, I think at Boston University or something, in 71 when they were opening for the Yes.
Right.
So they were just starting out at the time. I went back and saw Bernie and my buddy and hung out, and we played backstage, and Glenn and everybody was there and kind of saw me and went, wow, that's great. And Bernie kept calling me to get me to move out to L.A. He said,
right.
The music business isn't happening in New York. It's not in Boston. It's in California. And in those days, in the 70s, it really was. That
right.
was the California sound. So eventually, I took his advice and moved out to L.A. in my U-Haul trailer and my 65 Volvo and got a couple of jobs out there working for Crosby, Nash, being Stephen Stills. Playing.
So you were really connected. I mean, you knew a lot of guys. You knew Crosby, you knew Nash, you knew... you knew a lot of the big acts, right?
I did. You know, it was funny. Before I met Bernie, the guy that was in my band in Gainesville was Stephen Stills when we were 14 and 15 years old.
Wow.
We had a little band together.
How did you know Stephen Stills? I think he's a genius, Stephen Stills. Am I right on
that? Yeah, oh, no, absolutely.
You met him when you were 14. And didn't you hang out with the Allman Brothers when you were a kid?
Uh-huh.
How do you know all these guys?
Well, it was Gainesville, Florida. I don't know if there was something in the water or what we were smoking in those days, but everybody kind of wound up being friends together.
Tom Petty from there?
Yeah, he was one of my guitar students. I taught him early on.
You taught Tom Petty how to play guitar?
Yeah.
Does he thank you every day for that?
Well, I think he mentions it in his articles now, and that was so funny.
Every time he gets laid, he should thank you. Come on. Another brilliant guy that you hung out with. Wow. Yeah. You taught Tom Petty how to play guitar. He took guitar lessons from you.
He paid you
to teach him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Was he a brilliant student? Did you say to yourself, geez, this is some kid?
No, he wasn't a great guitar player, but he was fantastic on stage. He had this charisma. He had this long, straight blonde hair, and he'd flip his hair and shake his hair.
Yeah, but did you ever say to yourself, here you were, I guess you're older than him, that you were his guitar teacher.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Did you ever say to yourself, gee, maybe I ought to hook up with this kid and start a band with
him? No, I had my own band. I was working with Stills. He was a couple of years younger than me, so, you know, he was still a skinny, kind of buck teeth, scraggly hair.
Wow.
Well, now that I think about it, he still looks like that.
I was going to say, you're describing him now.
I mean, how much did you charge Tom Petty for a guitar
lesson? It was $3 an hour.
This is J.D. Souther talking.
My friends, Jackson Browne, Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and eventually Warren Zevon, were all part of a group that really loved each other's music. As different as we all were from each other, I think we, you know, have a good partnership. They're all very smart, very well-read people, and kind of a political like mind and social like mind. So there's a genuineness. All of us were very much believers in truth as far as music and art's concerned, and the truth as far as relationships are concerned. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to have the first decade of your career really shared with your best friends.
And this is J.D. Souther singing. He was asked to play in the Eagles.
I remember very clearly sort of looking, you know, during a song, kind of looking over and going, you know, this band doesn't need me. This is a perfect four-piece band. They really don't need three singing guitar players standing up here in front.
In 1975, the decision was made to punch up the sound a little bit more, so Bernie Ledden was replaced by Joe Walsh. You might remember this song from James Gang Rides Again, Funk 49. Before Walsh was actually in the band, he made guest appearances. Toward the end of the concert, they'd roll him out in an equipment case. He'd climb out. They'd hand him a Les Paul and...
that was a real accomplishment, I think, for the band. That's exactly where we wanted to go when they wanted to take the Eagles a little more rock and roll. Don Felder brought the descending chord line, and it was a true Eagles song because Glenn arranged the track. Don Henley went and wrote some words. And after the song was finished and the vocals were on, Don Felder and I said, all right, how are we going to do this? And so we figured that I would step out in the body of the song and he would too individually. And at the end, we would have a showdown and see who won, you know. But we decided to call it a tie. But yeah, we went at it. And Don Felder and I were always real good at that. It was pretty competitive. And we would try and one-up each other. And I think you can see that in the documentary. We're kind of pushing each other. But you can never leave.
This is Timothy B. Schmidt talking about becoming the new bass player of the Eagles.
I think that was more like the straw on the camel's back. You know, that wasn't just that one incident. You know, obviously he was becoming more and more discontented. And I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, but it didn't work out once again for various reasons, I'm sure. And that's when I got the call.
And there was no hesitation about there saying
was no,
yes.
There was no hesitation. I thought it was a great idea. It was like, it's like, when do you want me?
Randy had trouble with the momentum that happened. Hotel California took off like we never imagined. And with it came a lot of non-musical stuff. And the pace went way up. And the pressure went way up. And he just couldn't really handle how big it was getting.
And so was there pressure?
It wasn't pressure to me. This was like a perfect fit. It was a perfect move for me. And I thought, at the risk of sounding egotistical, I thought it was a perfect fit for the band.
It was even said toward the end, Randy Meisner was hesitant to sing this song. And when you listen to it, I wonder why.
To the limit. Thank you.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
You've been listening to the Better Each Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.